This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue on in Galatians with Paul opposes Peter, crucified with Christ. Abraham believed God. The difference between the law and the gospel, and priority of the promise. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Yeah.
has redeemed his people.
From Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be poured that I did not run in vain or in labor in pain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me.
O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is put away. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
Please pray a moment with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, St. Paul was in prison again, but this time he wasn't quite sure whether it would end with his release or with his martyrdom. So he took the time to write his beloved Philippians. They supported him generously, listened to him carefully, and lived the Christian life as well or better than any of the churches he had planted. His letter to them gave them some of the most precious and practical advice in all of his correspondence. While not quite the last will and testament that his letters to Timothy would be, we can take them as his best advice to his spiritual children, including us. Our text follows the Great Christ hymn, in which he urges us to think like Jesus thinks, who became man, lived a life of perfect obedience to his Father, suffered, died, and rose again, all for our sakes. Our Lord came to serve and to give himself as a ransom for many. Now, as the Father sent him, so he sends us to live a life to service to others. You see, in baptism, the Holy Spirit began it all. He created faith in you and put his law into your hearts. There he planted a new Adam to grow, or a new Eve to grow, to rise daily before God, to live and to do what he intended for us to do. In the Lord's Supper and in absolution, we receive bread for the journey ahead of us. He wants us to stand out, you see, in this crooked and twisted generation. From this foundation of baptism, the Lord's Supper, absolution, and our constant return to baptism at the beginning of each day, he wants us to work with our salvation to live the Christian life. In our society, which has reverted to paganism, if we live like Christians in this world, we will stand out. Maybe not so in the 50s, you could kind of fly under the radar, living with just one woman, having children, going to church, serving God and neighbor. You just would be ignored because you were just like everybody else was supposed to be anyway. But now you're just kind of odd, standing on all of these strange principles. Maybe you're just a hater after all, and hate the rest of us. And so you live in such a strange and odd way. In this society, not only will we stand out, but we're going to take a lot of flack for our witness and for living innocently and blamelessly before God. And so, What do we do about that? Well, grumbling and complaining seems like the order of the day. We can make the big long list of the failures of our government and of the people around us, which we do quite well, I'm sure. We could wonder why the church doesn't do better, why people that you have preached to for days and weeks and months and years just don't get it and aren't showing up for church to back you up. We could wonder and grumble and complain a lot, but if you haven't noticed, it really doesn't change much of anything, does it? Grumbling and complaining is just going to get you more, you guessed it, grumbling and complaining. So what do you do in a world like this, which is going to hell in a handbasket, or maybe even faster with all of the modern technology that we've got? How do you deal with this world? How do you live and stand out like a Christian will, and still survive? The answer really is what the answer always has been. For the words of God have been with us since the beginning of time when he said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and has continued through the ages from prophets and all those who have come through the ages, through pastors and teachers and Christians, witnessing sometimes boldly to their death, sometimes just very quietly, praying for their grandchildren to return to the faith. That word has been there all along, and it hasn't changed, nor will it. Remember that Jesus tells us that heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will not pass away. Those are things that you can bank on, because how fierce as they will, they can harm us none. After all, God's word will still remain, and the littlest of words, Jesus, will fell them. In the midst of this, you might think that you're alone, but you really aren't. He's by our side with his good gifts and spirit. And we are also with each other too, as we gather each and every week, as we hear again God's word for us, as we have all of our lives, as we go with each other into this world, so that we are really never alone, even when we think we're alone. No matter what the world will throw at us, after all, we will win. Some of you may know my daughter Hannah. This line she hates. I tell her that when I get worried, when I'm starting to read a book, that I will turn to the last chapter to figure out who wins, so that I don't invest in somebody who's going to die along the way. Hannah just doesn't like that. But you know, we can do that. We can turn to the last chapter of God's word and figure out who's going to win. And I've got a secret for you. It's Jesus. And in that chapter, he invites us, the Spirit and the church, calling and saying, "Come, let he who hears say, come, let he who is thirsty take the water of life without price." And so in this world, while we still have a job to do, the angels yet have not come and arranged for our exfil into the presence of God. And so, like St. Paul, while it is good for all of us to be together, and it is much better that we be with God, yet we're still here because we still have work to do. And we know that no matter what's thrown at us, sin, death, the power of the devil, regardless, in the end, Jesus will be with us, for the kingdom ours remains. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, fill our hearts and minds with faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
In our prayers, we remember Cody and Nikolai Groves and their family as they mourn the death of their grandmother, Jacqueline. We also give thanks to God for the birth of a daughter, Becky Ann, to Sean and Catherine McNeil.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord God, maker of heaven and earth and giver of life, we thank you for all the mercies you granted to Jacqueline during her earthly life, especially for calling her to faith in Jesus Christ. Comfort the survivors who mourn his death
with the hope of the glorious resurrection and a joyful reunion in heaven, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Merciful Father, you add to the generations of mankind. This day we thank you for the birth of Becky. By the gracious working of your Holy Spirit, help her to grow in your nurture and admonition, that she may bring glory to you and serve others in your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you us all.
Amen.